everybody. Welcome to another season. How do you like that, Coach? Another season of Inside Lion Athletics. I'm Charlie Chitwood back again. I've got head men's basketball coach, Jarrett Von Rosenberg, our first guest to start off the new year. It's not even basketball season yet.
Yeah, I got to walk out and watch a little football practice. And, you know, we got volleyball and soccer reporting. So it's officially here. And I'm looking forward to just a, you know, the first ever for the whole athletic department, but obviously the first for basketball and just new opportunities, and we're looking forward to it.
Coach, when you go out, I know you played ball, and you were pretty good, a quarterback no less. When you go out and watch practice, does, like, your knee start to hurt just a little bit out of sympathy or your shoulder?
I told Coach Dozell, I'm so glad that I ended up playing football instead of basketball in college. And there's nothing against football, but I like the temperature control that we have and the few less teammates.
Yep, there you go. All right, well, let's talk about some of the teammates on your team. You got a new cast of them. Most of the guys have been in already, or have all of them made a summertime appearance?
They've all made a summertime appearance. It's been good. You know, summer for us is a great opportunity to get to know your teammates. With so much turnover that we have now, the opportunity to get to know your teammates, and that way when the fall comes and we report, you know, we only have probably 20-25 days before official practice starts. So it speeds up the whole process of when we get into our actual preseason.
Coach, when you talk about the team building stuff, and when you would have some guys for 2, 3, and 4 years, would you ever be tempted to, we don't need to team build this year because we'll do it in practice because these guys all know each other?
No, you still got to. And the experience of playing college athletics is a lot more than the 31 games you have on the schedule. I think sometimes people forget about that. You know, these are young men, and they've chosen to come to this university to get a degree and play college basketball. So we don't want to take that for granted, take it lightly. You know, even guys that, if you know, we've had obviously Kalik that finally finished, exhausted his eligibility 5 years later. But you never want to take it for granted, whether you're a freshman or a fifth-year senior, that, you know, we want to give them the best experience that we can. And that goes into meals and doing activities with your teammates. And, you know, hopefully my always hope, and it's kind of how I came up and got recruited, is, you know, you hope to have 2 or 3 tables of your former teammates at your wedding, you know, and that means that you did a lot more, and you made lifelong friendships. And in the process of all of that, when it gets into the heat of battle, that gives you the opportunity to really lean on each other and have success.
What kind of activities do you take the guys out for their team building exercises? I mean, it's constant.
Yeah,
practice.
We do all types of stuff, but you know, you can do trust courses, rope courses. We've gone fishing. We've gone on a boat. Go to the movies. Just, you know, anything that you do on a regular. And we try to use our region and do things here that, you know, guys from, you know, we have a player from Australia. We have a player from Europe. Like, doing things that they might not do if they didn't come to this place.
So you talked about the fishing. Did you do any noodling?
No.
Catfish around here. There's not. It's not huge, but it's done.
That is the most dangerous fishing in the world, and I don't think some of our players would really enjoy that experience.
Just that your fist is going to be bait. That's just not.
Yeah, that's an interesting concept for a lot of people that aren't from Texas or the South.
Oh, well, when we pull them out, we fry them up, and then it's all good. So, Coach, team building, you got everybody in. They don't have everything, quite all the dust settled for the season, but there's a few things we know. What do Lion fans want to look forward to? Let's see. You said we have 30 conference games this year.
Yeah.
That's not true. We only have 22.
Yeah, 22 conference games. So it obviously limits your non-conference, but some of the highlights are we're going back to Hawaii, which I think, you know, the way the NCAA works at Hawaii, because of the travel and everything, it becomes an exempt game that doesn't even count against your 31-game schedule. So we'll actually get 32 opportunities this year. Then, you know, early in the non-conference, we thought we were going to be the first basketball game in the country because we're going to play at 9:30 a.m. on opening day. But a tip-off classic kind of stole that from us. There's going to be a 7 a.m. tip that people can look forward to.
Time zones.
We'll play an early game opening Monday, and then we go to New Mexico to take on the Lobos, which will be a great environment. They're crazy about basketball there. They've got a new situation as far as a new coach and a new roster, so not sure exactly what that program's going to look like, but coach does a phenomenal job coming off, I believe, 30 wins over in California. So that'll be a really tough test early out of the gates. And then the other big, I guess, names in the non-conference, we're going back down to A&M, our sister school, playing them right before Christmas. And then we got some team called UConn back on the schedule for another
round. Oh, they haven't won a national championship in, what, a year?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, some tough tests. It's not as bogged down as our schedule's been in the past. I think we have a lot more competitive opportunities that maybe we didn't have previously.
Very good. How's your staff? You got everybody back or most of the guys back?
Yeah, most of the guys back. Coach First is going into year 9 with me, I believe. That's a long time.
Man.
So, yeah, we're going into year 9 together. Then we added Cliff Carroll, who I actually worked with, worked under at Collin County Junior College. It was my first coaching job. He's joining us for most recently at Mary Hardin Baylor. So a guy that's got a lot of head coaching experience, I think 10 or 12 years. So he'll be really good for not just me, but our whole staff and continued development. You know, just as the players try to develop as coaches, we're always trying to get better as well.
Coach Carroll, I remember him at Mary Hardin Baylor from times at ETBU.
Yeah. So
he just keep running around. And then,
we're not going to do the Santa game. He was kind of known for his Santa Claus game where he'd wear a Santa Claus suit on the sideline, but I don't think that's in the cards this year.
I don't think an official would take getting chewed out by Santa Claus quite the same as they would from a coach dressed regularly.
Yeah,
what if he really is Santa Claus?
He did it as an exhibition, so it wasn't as a competitive environment as maybe it would have been otherwise.
Okay. All right, man, let's flip the book back or all the way back to this time last year, and you're seeing that team and trying to put things together. And how is everybody, what's learned in that last year from players, staff? It was a tough experience last year, but y'all got all the way through it.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go back in time. But we didn't do a great job of identifying our weaknesses early. When we got into games, we really obviously had a huge problem with turning the basketball over. It got a little bit better towards the end of the year when we changed some stuff offensively, but we're going back to our old style of offense, and I think with some different pieces and some different dynamics through recruiting, it'll give us a good opportunity to be successful.
All right, very good, Coach. We're about to bring everybody back on campus.
Well, we're still here.
You're still here. You haven't gone anywhere.
We've got two more workouts. So they're doing some stuff today away from basketball, but we'll finish up our last two workouts tomorrow and Friday, and then they'll get about 3 weeks off, which will be good for everyone to reset. And then when you come back, that's why summer's so important. It's really easy to focus on basketball, kind of putting in the building blocks of what we're going to do on both sides of the ball. But with not a lot of students on campus, it's just basketball and school right now. And that'll help acclimate the guys when they come back, and there's a lot more going on. But we're looking forward to getting to that first practice. And in our room, we're very excited about what it looks like and the potential that we have.
All right. Good stuff, man. We could talk basketball all day, but he can't. He's got to do other stuff like coach basketball. So, Coach, we'll see you down the road.
Awesome. Go Lions. Appreciate
all right.
it.
Jeff, that's Coach Rose with us here for the first part of Inside Lion Athletics. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to some more of Inside Lion Athletics, Season 2, Episode 1. Avi said we got picked up for another year.
Well, if we start practice, then I guess we're on to the next season, aren't
there,
we?
That's
there we
it.
Go, right?
And they're out there practicing even as we speak.
As we speak. That's exactly right.
How much do you remember of preseason football training camps and how much fun they were?
That's back when you could do like the on-field two-a-days, and then you'd have a walkthrough and
salt tablets.
It was different.
Waters for lesser players.
Oh, it was. Yeah. Like, it makes you question how much you. There's days where you question how much you love the game. That's how arduous it was. Now again, I didn't have the same heat level here. Now it was hot in Pennsylvania at that time, but not the same level of heat here too. So I'll give some grace, obviously.
How humid was it?
I mean, it was humid, but I mean, it's all relative, right?
People say it's not the heat; it's the humidity.
It's all of the above.
One can eventually out-Trump the other.
Yes, I agree.
All right, so on to sports and not the weather report. We got a few things going on. I mean, football camp's out there already. Basketball is into some team-building exercises today. They've had some kind of workouts, yep, but not practice. Those are coming up.
Week of the eight. So they get 8 weeks in the summer,
mm-hmm,
of really kind of hands-on official team practice, and they're both in their last week of that this week. So that's going on for them. But, yeah, as they're winding down the summer, we've got soccer starting. We've got football starting. And, the interesting thing is, as there's been some actual recent rule changes too, so you're going to see sports starting even earlier than before as we get to next year. You know, football's going to move permanently to the week zero in FCS, our level. So that's a new thing to add, the 12th game on a permanent basis. We were already going to play in week zero next year, but, that'll become commonplace for us. So you back up the whole calendar for football week from what we're doing right now. Soccer's going to have this kind of 2 week ramp up period, that's new for them. So that'll kind of be something new for next year. So they'll be starting basically in mid July. Volleyball has new legislation now that allows them to start like a week or so earlier, 2 weeks earlier. And, so they'll be starting earlier than they do. They'll be hitting out here in July. So, it used to be, you kind of get, it probably too. I think there's probably some folks here that probably remember in the D2 days that, you really wouldn't start that until deeper into August. I mean, we're in mid-July for these sports now, now here in D1. So here we go. Let's rock and roll.
Let's do it. Everybody in our reclassification class, and we've had one added to it, everybody's in this year. They all opted in. They all made it in. Is it a time? Do you look kind of around the classroom and try to measure yourself against everybody?
Are
y'all all too busy focused on your own lane?
Yeah, I think for us, we didn't have anybody else in our reclass cohort class that's in the conference. There were some folks that were in the same conference. So I think for us, we're just trying to continue to measure how we're doing within the league. And, we were talking about a little bit before we got started. The Southland Conference of today is nothing like the Southland Conference that we went into 3 years ago. There's not even close. The level of quality in this league is up at a whole different level,
mm-hmm,
across really every sport. What I can tell, I mean, we had AD meetings last week in conjunction with Media Day, and we've got a great group of ADs in the Southland. Like, it's a great group that works together, and I think we all acknowledge and appreciate that. But at the same time, too, you can tell everybody's, measuring against each other, and we're all working off of each other to get better, and it's showing in the results. So that's really, I think, when we look at our evaluation from where we're at, we're looking at in the Southland.
Okay, yep. Fair enough. Yep. You got football coming up. That SMU game looms. In fact, from the day that we're recording this, it's 30 days.
30 days
out. 1 month before college football starts again.
Incredible. And we've got some information out this week about the tailgate at SMU that we're doing in conjunction with the Alumni Association. So if you haven't checked that out, if you're a Lion Athletic Scholarship Fund member or you're an Alumni Association member, there's actually free access into that. All you got to do is get your ticket, which we've got on sale with liontickets.com. And so, we are getting ready and ramped up for that. It's going to be a great event. We've got a heck of a week even leading up to that because we've got the Rangers game, the East Texas Day at the Rangers on that Sunday,
mm-hmm,
kind of going into the week. That's the first week of classes here. Again, we talk about where we're going with enrollment and things like that, and we're still churning like crazy here from that end of things, so that's great. Then we get to Thursday. They've got the Lions Reserve event, which is kind of a new kind of scholarship event that Philanthropy and Engagement at the university are doing. So that'll be on campus that day. We've got a football alumni event down in Dallas on Friday night. So if anybody is a football alum who's listening to this or watching it, make sure you get registered for that. Saturday's game day. And, yeah, we just keep going from there. So, but, yeah, we're excited. I mean, the response on the SMU game in particular has been outstanding. I mean, we've got hundreds of seats that have been sold. That doesn't even include the band. That doesn't include the student groups that we've got coming down and on buses. That doesn't include player guests. So, you know, I think we're going to have a great showing there for that game. And I also know that there's some SMU East Texas mutual grad, you know, there's a dual grad between both, who either have got tickets or getting tickets different ways. But I always press them to make sure that they're wearing their blue and gold, not their blue and red.
There you go.
Exactly.
Good call.
So it's exciting. I mean, and then you put on top of that, you know, having that on national TV and what comes with that. You know, it's funny because you'll see on social a lot of people will put together kind of the TV map for the day,
right,
with all the games and all the logos. And so, you know, this is the CBS game, this is the ABC game, this is the ACC network game, and we're right there with everybody else. And so, again, when you talk about what that can do in terms of the showcase opportunity for the brand and for our student athletes and just our university as a whole, you know, those are the types of things that are honestly just priceless.
And all the stuff that falls on us, you know, extra eyes on the brand, on the campus, on the university. Take the post that New Mexico tweeted out, and you know, about their home opener in the pit against the East Texas A&M Lions, and it's a great post. But then you start looking at the Lobo fan comments. It's like, ooh, they don't think much of us.
Well, you know, that's the thing. I mean, that's the thing is, you know, part of growing our brand, part of that move to Division One, is really trying to get resonance in not just our region, but throughout the state and throughout the country about the university as a whole, right? And so that's working. We know it's working. And part of the reason we know it's working is because there will be people that are like, wait a minute, I didn't even know what East Texas A&M was, or you know, who is that, or what? You know, so it's just, you know, that's got value, right?
It does in
the space. And so we know what we can, but what we can affirmatively state from that engagement is, that's a person that didn't know about us that before that knows about us now, right? And same thing is true of the Florida State game announcement. Same thing is true of, you know, whether that's just response on the SMU. I mean, so we know that it's creating added just awareness for the university as a whole.
A little bit of remember the Lions whenever you get the opportunity.
There you go. That's exactly right.
All right. What else is going on? I mean, y'all don't have to spend time on reclass anymore.
No, thank goodness.
Golly.
Yeah, you know, it's been fun to see the reaction, I think, to all of it. You know, we've seen, you know, it's been exciting because we've seen people respond really positively just in terms of partnership opportunities on with the reclass process being done. We've started to obviously roll out the Nike jerseys. Incredible response there. And, you know, what's kind of cool about it is, and Avi did a great job of, one, putting it together, but then, two, obviously showcasing the reach. You know, we did a jersey reveal, but it was a little more subtle on the football one, and it got 200,000 views across all the platforms in the last week. And not only that, but we're engaging at a high level on Instagram, which is, you know, a younger prospective student, college age student, people that might think about coming to East Texas A&M as prospective students as well. So we're getting great engagement on that medium. And then, you know, we do the soccer jerseys, and we get 100,000 views in 24 hours
when
on
the
soccer
jerseys.
When they look
as good as they do.
They look especially, awesome.
What do you think of that lime green one? Is that,
that's probably my least favorite one, honestly.
Is that going to be a blackout game where there's no lights, but they play?
You could in that jersey. Now, the pink one's pretty nice. And I think the gold kit right now for soccer is only a keeper jersey. But, you know, in full transparency, Ashley and I had a conversation yesterday saying, should we get that for full field players as well? Because it came out really nice. So we're really excited about what we've gotten so far in that rollout. But I think more than anything, just the response. And, you know, what a great thing too for our student athletes. You know, they get excited about those opportunities to
get
in the new gear, get in front of the camera. You know, they're posting their own pictures, and you know, again, they tell our story too, and that's what's so exciting. So we've talked about, you know, us being the only SLC member that's a Nike partner.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you for certain, based on the conversation at Media Day, that there's a whole bunch of other coaches that took notice of that across the league, some that maybe weren't even tracking on it, but when mm-hmm. they saw us there and, you know, we were very loud and proud about it, then it's generated some questions from some ADs to me.
How'd you do that?
Yeah, right. So so that's what's been great. So, but again, using that as a vertical to get more reach, and particularly in a reach of a segment population that, you know, could be prospective students for us here at the university as a whole, not just athletes.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah, great stuff.
Down the road, there's a little bit of dirt moving around.
There is a lot of dirt moving around. So, yeah, you can see the exterior shell of the Buffalo Wild Wings, basically. I mean, it's there. You know mm-hmm. what that is
mm-hmm.
when you see it now. And then the amount of dirt that's moving, obviously, at the event center. If you haven't been here really in the last month, it is a whole different footprint over there right now. Obviously, the enclosure for rodeo is you know, I think, you know, it's there. You can see the whole kind of footprint of that structure now. There's the addition on the expansion on the rec center. You're starting to see some of the steel that's now forming that. So, yeah, I mean, it's incredible to see what's happening on campus for sure.
How much dirt are they having to excavate out of there, or is it a buildup?
It's
them?
Honestly not a ton, and that was a little bit of the thought process on the footprint and the design and how we oriented the building as well, because you have a little bit of a very gradual slope going back south
mm-hmm.
Towards Hunt Regional. And there's a little creek bed there.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got there's going to be a little retention pond there for water, of course. But but we put the front door on the north side, so that way we could limit the amount of steps that you would have to go from ground level into the venue.
Okay.
Because, you know, obviously with that slope, the way it slopes down towards to the south towards Hunt, it actually created a great footprint for us to be able to put it in there, not have to grade too much, and then also keep the front door as close as we could to ground level, but also still have like a top-loaded seating bowl. That was important when we went through the design, is that when you walked into the building, you didn't walk up to your seat, you walked down to your seat like you would if you walked into, you know, a pro-style arena.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So that was important in the design for us.
Okay.
Yeah, good insight. We hadn't really talked about a little bit of that kind of nuance there in the design.
Well, you know, Juanita's been after me all summer with the battles that we've had with hogs.
Oh, yeah.
Feral hogs will mess up your summer. But, you know, she's like, find some fill dirt. I guess this isn't the place.
There's a lot of dirt moving around, that's for sure.
That's
good. There's no doubt about that.
That's good.
No doubt about that.
You know, talking to Coach Rose earlier about team building and what kind of stuff they do, what do you do with your team? Your coaches, do y'all get a day to go bowling together?
You know,
what do you do?
I'm glad you mentioned that. We've got to do probably more in that regard. Part of what we're doing is just trying to build out our team, honestly.
Yeah.
And so I've kind of always had in my head this, we're gonna get together, and then, you know, we're getting together around a table to strategize something. So we probably, that's something that we've got to do probably a little bit better on within the team. But, you know, but like I said, talking about building out team. That's exactly what we're doing right now. You know, Haley Major, who oversaw our academic support unit, she took a great opportunity at Colorado. So we're filling in that position right now. We're actually adding to our creative team as well.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a new position that's going to oversee cheerleading and some creative content for us. We had some coaching churn in the summer, and so at least at the assistant level.
Yeah.
So really, I think part of what we've spent the bulk of the time is trying to get that org chart and that team together. We added to the sponsorship side. We're adding a dedicated ticket position as well to better serve our fans in the ticketing space. We're talking about adding a production position to service the boards as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things that you asked this question, and like, it was probably like 9 months ago. I was like, man, you know, we really got to do something with the team. you know, end of the year, celebrate this whole D1 thing. And then at that time, it was like, okay, we started adding positions and we were replacing some spots. And I'm like, okay, we'll probably have to wait till we get the team built out again. But it's good. You know, it's one of those where I'm just continuing to grow, right? And that's what's really kind of fun is we talked about some of these things. Part of our growth really is corresponding with some of the additional support that we're providing for our student athletes, but then at the same time too, coming with some success that we're having both from, just getting across the line with D1, but also the growth in our donor base, the growth in terms of what we're doing from a self-generating revenue perspective. And so it gives us the opportunity to better service our student athletes and our fans and anybody associated with Lion Athletics through that. So yeah, it's definitely something on the radar, but I want to get that team built out first.
All right. So does everybody on the staff that went through the transition process, are y'all going to have like a survivor's pin or anything like that? I mean, there's not a ton of people, you know, in my brief time working with Olympics and Olympic sports and organizers was that there are, it's a cult, well, not a cult, but I mean, it's a population of gypsies. They are Olympic gypsies, and they literally travel the world going to get ready for the Olympics or to work in Olympics or to go to an Olympic qualifying event that they have to be a part of.
So I'm glad you mentioned this because actually yesterday at the football team meeting, kind of their kind of initial team meeting, I had an opportunity to talk to the team to get started. And the first thing we did is I actually asked all the guys who were on the team in 21 or before to stand up. And there's a handful in there. And some of these guys are really important players for us, too. Yeah. Right? I mean, as you can imagine. E-Rod was there. Jaden Jones. I'm going to miss someone. But, you know, you look around the room and you're like, okay, there's not many of them, right? But the ones that have hung around are really important for what we're doing, both in terms of just being able to kind of talk about the journey, but also, too, they're very experienced players and very quality players as well. So it was important for me, just as we got that started, to acknowledge those guys who have kind of been through the whole journey.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't come here with any expectation or really they came here expecting to go to Division II playoffs every year because that's what we did, right?
Yeah.
And compete for championships in the Lone Star. And the universe changed on them a little bit while they were here, obviously. And so I thought it was important that we at least acknowledge and call those guys out, but also thank them for sticking with it. And, you know, I told the group, I said, you know, these guys, you know, they didn't have to stay. They chose to stay, and they helped build a foundation for this. And, you know, we talked about it as we got on the other side of the reclass process, but, like, it took everybody in that room, including those student athletes, to get us to this point where we could expedite this process.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was important to acknowledge that.
That you're talking about those guys that have been here all this time, it kind of brings up, did you read Matt Brown's column this morning? He was talking about D1s and D2s.
I saw a little bit of it. I didn't get through it all, but I did see it, yes.
So here's the thing that just kind of went poof, was when he said, so at most D2s, their annual budget would be covered by one home game played by Michigan in the sport of football.
Yes. I mean, so
one game.
So
how big this move is. And you can't even describe that.
I've shown this data to some folks here. If you look at, if you have a budget, a total operating budget in athletics, that's in the top 5% of all Division II schools, it would be in the bottom 10% of all Division I schools.
Yes.
And maybe even lower than that. I mean, it's just, that's how different it is. And a lot of that comes down to scholarship, but also added games, the travel component, obviously what you've got from just a staff. You got to build out that staff, both from the coaching and the admin side. And again, that's, you know, we talk about what our process has looked like here over the last 3 years. And, you know, I think a lot of people naturally gravitate to the facility side and like, oh, you know, we got to do some things in the facilities. Yes, we do. And we're getting to that. Obviously we talked about moving dirt a second ago, but we had a lot to build out inside the house. And I just talked about it a second ago, building out the team, right? And continuing to add to the team. Like, that's a process in and of itself, because if we don't have the support for our student-athletes, both from an academics and a health and safety perspective, and then the ability to kind of coach them up, develop them as people, as athletes, and then leverage to the extent possible what the platform that Division I provides, and then also try to capture all the different opportunities to create new revenues for the university to support this experience for student athletes, whether that be through sponsorship or ticket sales or fundraising or what have you, then you can have the nicest facilities in the world and you ain't going to win a lot of games, right? Or have a great student athlete experience. So, you know, it's a little chicken and egg conversation. You wish you could do both at the same time, of course, right? Let's build a whole bunch of new facilities and, you know, invest on the inside of the house.
Yeah.
But you gotta make some moves along the way, kind of prioritize and strategize. And I think we've done a good job of that because we can see positive outcomes and know that we're in a good spot as we transition into this first year full member, but also see where we've made really good strategic investments in both the facility side, the personnel side, the scholarship side of the house, and then also in the health and safety side of it as well. So I think that's where, that article you mentioned and just kind of that benchmarking and that relative kind of spend. Now, at the same time, too, Division I creates new opportunities for us to create incremental revenue as well that we could never realize at the D2 level. You play a guaranteed football game in D2 against an FCS opponent, you know, maybe you get $50,000 out of it, right? Okay, great. We go play Florida State, we're going to get $450,000 out of it. That's just for an FCS game.
Yeah.
If you were an FBS team playing, a group of five team playing at Florida State, Kent State's going to do that this year, $1.25 million for that game.
Yikes.
Right? So it's just like that's how different it gets as you kind of climb the level. So, the expenses go up, but the opportunity to create additional revenues also goes up as well.
So basically what you're saying is when you go pick up the check now, you take security with you. Wild. It's so great to be a part of this D1 thing. And I mean, we're now in a club. I mean, 351 women's basketball teams.
Yep.
One more than the guys. So that means that we know nobody's being sexist. It's because they still have women's colleges. They have one more. Women's soccer, 351. 350 teams are all we're trying to be better than now.
You know, that's it. Now, you know, what's cool, too, you kind of mentioned, basketball and the full complement of Division I institutions. You know, one of the cool things that kind of came out this summer that we're excited about is, you know, EA Sports is going to do the new college basketball game. And, you know, we've signed on to that.
Yeah.
And so there's an opportunity to play as the Lions. And actually, my understanding is that they're looking at it from both the men's and the women's side. And so
wise.
You can play as, you know, men's or women's hoops in the EA college basketball game. And but that's also at the same time, too, where we've got the team builders and you can play as the Lions in the college football game. What I'm hoping is that eventually they'll fold the FCS programs into the game and you don't have to build it and upload the team builder. But, that's just one of those kind of cool opportunities that, again, like, you know, how do you showcase and put your brand in front of prospective students? Right. Again, not just athletes, but students and showcase the brand. And that's another way to do it in what's arguably the most popular video game out there. So it's really cool. But, yeah, I mean, that's it's kind of fun to kind of be in that conversation. But, you know, I think, too, what's really important as we talk about where the university's at. And I got to mention this with football yesterday. There's only like 325 schools in the country that are R1, R2.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talk about how important that, you know, elevating and leveling up to that distinction as a university. And then when you look at that, not all those institutions are Division I. Now, there's a significant number that are.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's one of those things, too, where can academics and athletics live together? Do at the best schools in the country. Right. And so what's so cool is, you've got less than 300 schools in the country that are, you know, R1, R2, and D1.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're in really rarefied air when you get into that position just as a university as a whole. So, again, just a really cool opportunity.
Wow.
Really cool.
Jim, we'd go on for hours.
We could.
But we can't.
We can't. You know, I mean, in the midst of all the summer, we've got executive orders coming out of the White House. We've got federal bills on the House floor. We'll just keep chopping away at it and going from there. We've got some exciting stuff coming out next week about tailgate and parking and ticketing. I would say some pretty significant changes there. I think hopefully for the good. A little bit of teaser there, but we're gonna number the whole west side to kind of give a little bit more structure around the seating there. And add some additional value, create some additional price points as well. And then we are now going to bring tailgating and parking together.
No.
Right? We're going to make it easier for our fans to do it all in one. So it used to be, you know, two different transactions. I had to buy tailgating and I had to buy parking. We are going to make – parking is just tailgating now, and tailgating is just parking. So we are bringing it together, you know – just there's no additional cost to tailgate. We're going to bring it together. So we'll have some more details out about that next week. But we are excited about that opportunity for our fans. And I would say creating an environment that I would say is a little more consistent with what we've seen across the country and creates a better, I think, game day experience for our fans as well, who don't have to lug things back and forth and create a little bit more community as well.
All right. Well, you know what the next task for Lion fans is to out pre-game tailgate party SMU. That's the first win we're looking for.
That's the the first win is not on kickoff. It's the tailgate. We win the tailgate, then we win the game, right?
Okay.
All right,
folks, we're going to lines up and take a break here. We'll be back with more. We got women's basketball, we've got soccer, and Clint Dalzell is going to talk about football. Imagine that.
There you go.
Keep it on Inside Lion Athletics. Hey, everybody, welcome back to some more of Inside Lion Athletics, starting a whole new season. And soccer is going to be the first season to get underway. I have women's head coach Ashley Gordon here with us.
Hi, Charlie. Good to be back. Feels like it was just yesterday. I was sitting in this chair.
It was. We were in another room.
We were.
How do you like the new digs?
I love it.
Oh, okay.
I love it.
Excellent.
Love all the new branding.
Hey, new branding. Boy, and y'all really got to throw out some of the first looks. Have you picked a favorite uniform yet?
Oh, gosh. This is a tough one. You know what? Well, the goalkeepers will tell you the pink uniform kit.
It's pretty
awesome, but I love it. I think all the uniforms look sharp. They look very classy.
That almost electric gold, greenish yellow. I mean, you could not turn the lights on and play a game in the dark if you had the ball marked up properly.
Let me tell you what, when you're a goalkeeper and the broader you are, it's harder to score against you. Statistics say.
No way.
Yeah, I swear.
What's the reason behind that? Do you know?
It's a distraction.
Okay.
You're an attacker. You're distracted someone glowing in the goal. And so
they just look too good.
They look too good. They look too good.
All right.
But the kids look awesome. And I'm pretty proud in the fact that I kind of designed those myself.
Attagirl. Look. See, that's
female coach thinking about what you're going to wear.
Balanced life.
That's right.
Sport and
that's right.
Profession, which now are the same thing.
That's right.
All right. Hey, let's talk about your team a little bit.
Okay.
Y'all got a short clock today.
We do.
But you've got the shortest clock of all because your first game is 15 days away.
That's right. We open up against Arkansas Little Rock at home, and before you know it, it's 7 weeks, and we'll be starting conference play. But we're not even there yet. We're in the midst of preseason. I know.
That you get to be the real door kicker on this Division I era. There's no more asterisks out there. And you're going out there with a team that's ready to fight and see just how much they can win it.
We are, but you know what? We just put our heads down and we're getting after it. I mean, obviously it's only day two of preseason and we have nine new players, five in which are freshmen and then four that were transfers, in which of the transfers, three of them came at mid-year and then one, you know, showing up for preseason. So just trying to get everybody integrated and getting after it in training.
What's kind of the process, or as Avi likes to call it, the cadence of their training? Is it, you know, just first make sure they're fit?
Yeah, fit.
But they better come in fit.
They have to come in fit. If you don't come in fit, you'll be sidelined by injuries. So, you know, right away, we got to, like I said, build upon last year. You know, we're integrating new players, obviously, but right now it's a lot of small-sided and fitness incorporated with the ball, of course, and then, you know, touching on tactics, you know, of course, but not even looking at game day preparation, certainly until we get closer to that. And we have two exhibition matches next week, playing against two top JUCOs that's in the country. We play Navarro Junior College and Seminole State, which are always, you know, at nationals every single year, and they have good programs. So it'll be good to get the players on the field and kick someone else besides each other at practice.
Coach, you haven't had a whole lot of time to talk to any recruits about, hey, we're not transitioning anymore. We're all the way D1. Has that made a difference in some of your conversations?
Yes. And you know what? We already have some players that are already verbally committing to us, and part of that they see what's happening here, and they see the future, and you know, and know that by the time that they arrive here, they're already competing, you know, for potential NCAA postseason. So they're excited. But yeah,
do you
not gonna give away all my details regarding recruits?
Well, you don't want to, and you don't want to in the very first show of the year.
No.
Lastly, and before we get going, or you have to get going, talk a little bit, if you would, about the conference this year. I know there's a lot of expectation that Lions are in the picture. You've been at the semifinal or the title game in the conference tournament the last two.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think we're certainly, when you're coming off of playing a championship match and knocking at the door of a championship, certainly you're going to have a target on your back. But, you know, really, the players understand we haven't won a game this season. And, you know, we have to come out and we have to be able to prove ourselves every single game. But, you know, right now it's a matter of every single time that we play a non-conference match, how are we going to improve our game and get prepared for conference play? And so we don't really talk too much about that as far as championships. You know, we don't like to talk about that.
Right.
The players just know that they have to, you know, come out and compete, and the team continues to get better. You know, we're better already athletically in every single position. Certainly, we keep getting more talent every single year, and so it makes it super competitive, and that's all the players are worried about is just competing and getting better. So, but in regards to the conference is always continuing to get better since mm-hmm. certainly we've come into the league. And we've got a few schools with some new, you know, coaches, so they'll put their spin on some things. And but again, you know, we haven't won a game yet.
Okay. All right. So because we have limited time today, how can people come watch the exhibitions? Do they just need to show up and watch?
They need to show up. We've got some great new branding, by the way. So the building and all of our banners, everything looks great with our new Nike, and certainly with East Texas A&M. And so uniforms look great. Team's going to be good. Need to come out and support Lions soccer.
All right. Let's do that. Lines up, everybody. That's a wrap for this part. We've got more on Inside Lion Athletics when we get back. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Some more of Inside Lion Athletics. First episode of the new year, Coach. Everything's fresh. Nobody's lost a single thing yet, and we can't wait to win. You guys, y'all are not the first one onto the field. Soccer gets that distinction, yep. But the game against the Ponies of SMU is not that far away.
No, and not that far away down the road either. It's, you know, just an hour
That's
away.
That's a good part.
Yeah, it's going to be almost a home game for us as far as having a good crowd. It's already excitement. See it all over the web and it's going to be a fun one. First day today of practice. I know we're going to get to that, but it was exciting to get out there and watch us practice and run around.
Coach, I've got some SMU alum that are friends of mine in Jefferson, and they're already talking about this. They want to know if we're going to be able to come by their tailgate booth, and B, are you going to
answer?
I told them if it's set up early enough. I know that town a little bit.
Yeah.
Hey, it's y'all had first day of practice.
We are.
And it went about like the first day of any practice.
Yep. hopes are always high for offense, and then you get reality of we have just helmets on and defenses flying around, and we don't look like we want to look, you know. And that's you know, we've got a new offensive line coach, so we're having to, you know, we're still running a lot of the same plays, but blocking techniques are different, words are different, you know, what you're calling things. So, you know, that you know, level of being down the road with veterans coming back is now we're just a little bit set back, which is fine. It's fine. Coach Conley's going to do a great job for us with the offensive line. You know, he's been there, done that at some of the biggest schools in the country. So we're definitely excited about that. And, you know, what I am pleased with our skills, we can go. You know, we can match up with anybody at our skill positions on the offensive side. And, yes, we lost 9 starters on the defensive side, but we didn't miss a beat today out there. Our defense was going. I mean, they threw about 5 or 6 different blitzes at us from day one. And, you know,
they got to get their licks in while they can,
they had
right?
some good calls against some of our run stuff today. And, you know, we just didn't look like we wanted to on offense. But, hey, it's a team effort. And, you know, that's one of those things where your defense, you know, holds their own. And then we figure out what's going on in the game and then start lighting the scoreboard up hopefully this year.
Coach, we haven't had the opportunity in the last handful of years, really, to talk about the quarterback that's going to start this year is the same guy that was starting at the end of last year.
That's a nice thing.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Ron has done a great job all spring of being that guy and taking over the role. And, obviously, you know, we saw at the end of the season of, you know, winning 2 of the last 3 and almost winning 3 of the last 3 against, you know, a team that went 3 rounds deep in Incarnate Word. So, you know, the biggest thing for us is taking care of the football. You know, that was Ron's biggest, you know, Achilles heel was, you know, turnovers and those games we lost. And, you know, we have multiple, you know, turnovers and still be in the ball game if we cut those down and, you know, give our defense a little bit more of a, you know, a field advantage of being able to call certain things. You know, we're going to start winning those football games instead of just losing by a little bit.
You were a quarterback, obviously, and a good one. Coach, how is your relationship different with your quarterback simply because y'all speak the same language?
You know, I've grown over the last 3 years, you know, being back in college football and been 30 years. I know a little bit more now. The game has changed over the last 30 years, and I've adapted to it. Our offense has adapted to me in that process and me calling the plays and making them understand what I want. You know, where confidence is just so high right now because we understand where to go with the football. We understand, you know, what protection we need to protect ourselves based on what's coming. And I give them a lot of leeway. You know, it's their team. You know, if I'm not going to call every play perfect.
Right.
If they come and give us something different and you got time on the play clock, change it, fix it. You know, and I think he's getting comfortable in the offense and be able to do that. And, you know, I'm excited for him, what kind of year he can have, you know, when he stays healthy.
Who's going to be on the headset with your quarterback when the Lions are out on offense?
Oh, it'll definitely be me.
So it's going to be your voice, he'll hear.
It'll be my voice, you know, and that's a new rule change.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody knows that or not.
And if you would, I'd kind of like you to explain it a little bit.
Sure.
I mean, you don't get to talk to him through the whole play.
No, you got up until 15 seconds on the play clock, which is brand new. FBS just started doing it a couple years ago, and now it's trickled down to FCS where it's, you know, player to coach talk. The defense coordinator can talk to linebacker. Within 15 seconds of the play, the whoever's on offense, coordinator, quarterback, coach, whatever, can talk to the quarterback up to 15 seconds of the play. And, you know, I can do a lot of talking between then and there. You know, it depends on how fast we want to go, too.
Yeah.
You know, what kind of rhythm we're trying to put in the game. You know, against your Florida State and SMUs, you probably don't want to just go overly fast, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you're facing a good football team that can put up a lot of points, and you don't want to just give them the ball back in a hurry, you know, being a 3-and-out. But, you know, I think we'll surprise a lot of people, and I really do think, you know, we can put some points on the board this year and help our defense out a lot more than we have in the last 2 years.
Have you talked to coaches that have had the luxury of that one-way communication to your quarterback?
No. It's going to be a work in progress for the next month. So the first time we're getting those headsets will be this Friday.
Okay.
That'll be when we're in shells and get some practice, and we're going to tinker with it because it is new. You know, we're used to signaling in and all that, and you're you know, if you're not going to just huddle, which teams that just huddle, that's more of a pro-style NFL stuff. They mm-hmm. huddle a lot.
Yeah.
The fast pace is not really in the NFL as much. So it's going to be a fine line. I still want to move pretty fast, but I think I can communicate him with the play. He can tell the line, and we're still going to have to signal probably for the receivers
okay.
and tight ends and running back. But, you know, we're going to have to tinker with it. It's a brand new toy, and we're going to figure out what works for us and, you know, and do the best we can with it.
And if I understand right, and please correct me, but everybody else in the conference is – this will be their first year with it as well.
First time too, yes, sir. It's brand new to the conference, brand new to the FCS, like I said. So every conference in FCS is brand new for them, and, you know, they may have tinkered with it before if they had the funds to do it
mm-hmm.
because you could always, you know, any FBS team you played, you could actually match. You could do a headset if with them if you had them. But that's a pretty good cost just to do it for one game. But now that you can do it for every game, everybody's going to have it.
Wow. Interesting stuff. All these fun things. You had first practice. It's kind of like, well, now let's move on to the second one.
Right.
What do you want to accomplish this week? What's the goal?
You know, clean up our mistakes. Learn from our mistakes and not make them twice, you know, mm-hmm. day to day. And that's – I can't wait to watch film, you know. We've been off the field. I've had lunch. I'm talking to you. I'm going to go have, you know, prep for tomorrow's meeting with the staff. And then we get to watch and break down the film and, you know, look at the mistakes and what happened and why the mistakes happened or the success,
mm-hmm.
whatever, why that happened. And, you know, the bad thing is a lot, you know, a lot of times you're just putting plays on paper and you don't know what the defense is doing when you're going against your defense. You kind of know, but, you know, situational stuff hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Second, third downs, you know, when are they going to bring a blitz more times than not? Mm-hmm. Those type things, it's just – kind of free for all right now in the first 2 days, and so you don't have really a game plan. You know, come Friday, that's more of a game plan, and we're trying to work against our defense, and we're going to score a lot of points on Friday against our defense. So,
okay, I won't tell them. I mean, I'll let you surprise them with that. You're good. We're good.
We're going to get it started.
You got to have some smack.
We're
going to
be
it's
competitive,
football.
Absolutely.
So, you're going to love that part of it.
It's about time.
I know, Coach.
It's been frustrating. I'm not used to this. I'm used to winning games. So it's time to turn, and we're going to turn this year.
All right. Well, I don't know a better way to end it on that, at least for this week. But, you know, we've got basketball, we've got soccer, and we have got football, and it's all getting closer and closer. Clint Dalzell, head coach of the Lions. We're going to line up, folks, and we've got a little more to go. Keep it here on Inside Lion Athletics. Hey, everybody, welcome back to some more of Inside Lion Athletics. Charlie Chitwood here with you. I am joined now by Valerie King, head coach of the Lion women's basketball team, and they're in practice now. Coach, last time I looked, we're not even in August yet. Isn't it fun to go year-round?
It is,
that's
yeah.
kind of where we are.
Yeah. I mean, we've been women's basketball. I mean, we've been this way for – I mean, as long as I can remember now. So it's just kind of part of our lives right now. So it's good to have our kids in here in the summer. You know, not as much stuff going on. You know, they get a little bit of break from classes and stuff, but we still get to practice and they get in the weight room. So it's a good time.
There you go. And there's been women's basketball on everybody's mind these days, it seems, because the WNBA has certainly picked up some more eyes this year.
Yeah, that's right.
The top players are getting the top TV time.
That's right.
Whether they're playing or not. So how many of your players, Coach, you've got all but your Germans and Austrians back. Mm-hmm. Everybody's here. And it's just really to the end of this week. And then you've got about, what, 3 weeks off?
Yep, we do.
And then the real practices begin.
Right.
A little bit about the summer. You got players getting to know each other.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've laid a really good foundation for, you know, moving into August and preseason. You know, we've kind of changed a few things of offensively philosophy and defensive philosophy. So we've been really, really working with that kind of stuff, trying to get just the basis down,
mm-hmm.
You know, and all that kind of stuff. So it's been a really good summer. We've had a really good 8 weeks of workouts. Probably moved a little bit slower than we have in the past, but, mm-hmm. You know, when we've changed stuff, or since we've changed stuff, we've had to move a little bit slower, just to make sure, you know, everybody is understanding and then, you know, able to build off of that day by day.
What kind of different approaches are you taking on both sides of the basketball, and why'd you go there?
Yeah, you know, offensively, we're going to move to a little bit more five-out offense compared to our four-out that we've done the past couple years. And, you know, mainly for the five-out is just our personnel,
mm-hmm.
You know, our fours and our fives of where we feel like they're, you know, best used and, you know, where I think we can go extra mile with them there. So, you know, just changing a little bit of offensive stuff and, you know, defensively just having, you know, drill in the mindset of becoming a really good defensive team. You know, and we've been starting practice with defense all summer long. So I think that's, you know, something that's on the forefront of their minds.
They've got to be able to stop the other team.
That's correct.
When they, the ball doesn't go in the bucket every single shot.
That is correct.
Coach, you look at, and this doesn't have anything to do with your team, but kind of where the program is. Through this transition, the other four teams, and I know that St. Thomas is in our cohort, but they were Division III, and this is just kind of our D2 cohorts. Only Southern Indiana, who's won 60 games in the past three, they have back-to-back 20-win years. But your Lions have the second most wins out of the other four. That's not a bad place to be coming out of a transition period. Still having some success, even right. With as rough a year we had last year.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. You know, I think, you know, just finishing year three, going into year four of the transition, obviously, on the other side of that now. But, you know, I think we've made great strides, especially in, you know, our first 2 years here. We've made really good strides in building the roster that we want, having the kids here that we want, you know, and it's a credit to them. You know, obviously we have a lot of work to do to get where we want to be, get our program where we want it to be. But, you know, I think when you look at numbers like that, I mean, we're probably in a good spot compared to some. But, again, we have a lot of work to do.
How's this transition been for you? You've got 2 years under your belt now as the head coach. You had tons of experience as an assistant, of course. But what have you learned in these first 2 years as being the skipper?
I've learned a lot. You know, I think when you're, you know, you just move over a couple inches, it's a whole new ball game, obviously. You know, you learn a lot about – I've learned a lot about myself. Tell you the truth, and it's you know, it's a humbling experience. You know, I love it. I love being here. I love coaching the kids we have, and you know, it's a learning experience every day. You know, it's mm-hmm. You know, it's you just never stop learning, and you know, I think having the kids that we have, they're on that same mindset of they want to learn, they want to continue to get better.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have a really good mesh of staff and kids that, you know, are on the same track.
On the recruiting end, I know that one coach has talked about, you know, it's good to win some recruiting battles, and we weren't able to win them before. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing any difference in that as you're out on the trails?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're probably in a few more conversations than we have been in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, I mean, I think you can take that at different angles. You know what I'm saying? I think it could be a reason behind all of it. Just, you know, what we've built, some of the kids we've gotten,
mm-hmm.
You know, that we are now D1, you know, and able to go play postseason. So I think there's a lot of factors that help with that. But, yeah, I think we're in conversations with some kids that we probably haven't been in the past.
David Bailiff, when he was here as the head football coach, and we talked about going into the first year of the transition, and he was saying, yeah, here's the difference is you go to a high school and coach has got a different list of players than he would give you if perhaps you were only a D2 or, mm-hmm. you know, even a D3.
Right. I mean, that's true. I mean, that's very, very true. But, you know, I think for us is, you know, really nailing down the kids that we like, you know, that can play the style that we play first,
mm-hmm.
And then going in and, you know, making sure they're the type of kid that we want in our program as well. So, you know, like I said, I think we're in some more conversations, and hopefully we will be, you know, in more, mm-hmm. you know, as the months and the, you know, months go by and stuff. But, you know, I like where we are with our recruiting, especially in the 26, 27 class. So, you know, and I think we're ahead in those two classes right now. So
would you rather have, if you could choose so, would you rather have your 26 and 27 scholarships all spoken for with the players that you've been after, or do you want to leave maybe one or two or three or however many for somebody from the portal, perhaps?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's always the case. I think, you know, we have a number that we want to sign in the 26 class and the 27 class, and you know, I think there's always room to add from the portal. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's still going to be, you know, a big piece of recruiting.
Well, the odds are that if you recruit a freshman, they may not be there as a senior. That's just the way sports are looking right
that's
now.
Just, you know, that's how it's going right now. So, you know, I think the plan that we have is to sign however many, you know, we mm-hmm. need in each class. And, you know, you never know what's going to happen in the spring. So it's, you know, I think that, you know, we'll have one or two open probably every spring mm-hmm. Where we don't fill to capacity. And then after that, we'll sign who we need.
What level is JUCO basketball being played by women's teams right now? Is that a fertile field for recruits always? Has like it's been?
Yeah, I mean, I think especially over here in East Texas, when you know, you talk about the junior colleges over here on our side, you know.
Region 14,
yeah, they win. They're mm-hmm. coached very well. They've got great coaches. Like, you know, I've said that twice, but they have really good coaches over here. And they get their kids prepared. So it's, you know, we hit them heavy every year. So, I mean, September 1, we'll be at one of those places September 1st. So.
Okay. All right, Coach, it's a busy day, and I think we're running up to the top of the clock, so we're going to have to let you go, but we'll do it again here before long.
Yeah, we'll do.
All right.
Thanks, Charlie.
Lines up, everybody. I think that this is going to do it for this edition of Inside Lion Athletics. Join us again. You know how to find them on the socials. You can even listen later on Spotify if you just happen to come across the end of this. Till next time, we'll see you, folks.